Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. John, chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it has hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Have you ever had the pleasure of being an apprentice or an intern to work as an aide? Perhaps if you're inclined in the way of sports, you've endured conditioning before a certain sport that you wanted to play. In the military, you've gone through boot camp. What do all these things have in common? Preparation and training. Not easy, many times quite difficult, sometimes maybe even calling into question your decision to participate in that particular job, activity, or sport. Jesus says simply in verse 15 of John 15, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. From doulos to philos, the Greek word for slave is doulos. It means to be a slave, to be a bondman, to be a man of servile condition. And we don't normally think of slavery as being something that is positive, but it might be a little less offensive if it was, no longer do I call you servants. The New Living Translation writes it this way, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. There's a transition being made. An apprenticeship is changing into the one being sent. No longer are they going to be the aide or the intern. Now, that does not mean, because Jesus says, no longer do I call you slaves, that Jesus is not our master. He is. We are to obey His commandments. Even in this, He has repeatedly said that. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. Jesus is our God, and we are to answer to Him. He is in control. It is He who has the power and the authority. In fact, when the apostles were challenged by the Sanhedrin court in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 and told no longer to teach about Jesus, they said, "We must obey God rather than man. We are beholden to the Savior, to our Father. We are called into His service, and it is our duty to be at His beck and call." And yet Jesus would, now at the close of His earthly ministry, redefine the relationship that He has with His disciples, these that have followed Him now for 3+ years. I have written on the marquee, "God requires of us obedience. He desires from us relationship." John 15:15. Let me read that again. God requires of us obedience. He desires from us relationship. Man has taken this concept of being a friend of Jesus to the extent of ignoring what Jesus' wishes are. Perhaps that's the way we treat our friends on earth. We think that we can take advantage of them. They have turned God's grace and God's mercy into an opportunity to sin. And Paul says simply in Romans 6, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, is what the King James Version says. Jesus wants His disciples to understand that they are transitioning from ones who have simply walked in His shadow as His disciples to ones who are being sent out. "Certainly, I no longer call you slaves, but now I call you My friends," means that instead of being automated or mindless or having unquestioning loyalty, Jesus is saying, "I desire from you a relationship. I desire consensual compliance. That's why I call you friends. What I want from you is dedication, devotion, yea, even worship. No longer do I call you slaves." Informed consent. Why is it that they can go from slaves to being friends? Because Jesus says, "You are informed. I have taught you." What would it be like to spend that much time with Jesus? 3+ years. Well, you say, well, it was divided. He had 12 that He was teaching. But still, there was that one-on-one. We've seen it repeatedly here in these final discourses with Jesus, how He has first confronted Jesus and answered John and Peter's questions, even telling Peter what's about to happen. And then it's gone to Thomas and to Philip. There's always this one-on-one, even though within a group. And even at the end on the seashore, Jesus will once again particularly speak to ones like Peter and to John. What would it be like to have had that time with Jesus? The one most benefiting from that was Saul of Tarsus as he became the Apostle Paul. And he alludes to that in defending the fact that he got what he teaches straight from Jesus. He said, "I didn't go up to Jerusalem as soon as I was converted. No, I went into Arabia," as he reveals in Galatians chapter 1 and 2. And it appears that Paul could have spent almost as much time with Jesus as the other apostles, one-on-one. Of course, now it's with Jesus as the risen Savior. It's with Jesus who is Spirit and truth. I always like to think of the Apostle Paul receiving that instruction as being a doctorate level course. Whereas the disciples are having to discover who Jesus is. Certainly he's a prophet. Certainly he is a miracle worker. But they're thinking of him establishing a physical kingdom. All of that is behind whenever the apostle Paul begins to walk with Jesus. He knows for a fact that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that his kingdom is spiritual from the very beginning. And he already has more than just a working knowledge of the law. He was being groomed for the Sanhedrin court himself. Perhaps he is in that room whenever the apostles say to the Sanhedrin, as we've already mentioned in Acts chapter 5, we must obey God rather than man. Of course, it didn't impress him at that time, because it is after that he is still on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, to bind them and to bring them back for torture and for martyrdom. But Jesus says, this is what makes you do the transition from intern, from disciple, to the leader that I have chosen you to be, from disciple to apostle. I have been with you, and I have told you everything that the Father wanted me to give to you. You are now informed. Think about that for a minute. There's no hidden agenda. He has said earlier in chapter 14 and verse 9 to Philip, if you have seen me, then you know the Father. I and the Father are one. And so as he says to them, I've given you everything that the Father has for me to give you, he is saying, you have received your degree. You are now ready for the task at hand. But at the end of this chapter, and then again, as we'll see in chapter 16 and 17, the Holy Spirit is going to come as well. And as we looked last week, he will not only remind you of the things that I have told you, but he will teach you all things. That was from verse 27 of John chapter 14. I'm sorry, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Christ is comforting his disciples, but it's also, he is also challenging them. And in the process, have you noticed how often he says, you must love one another? This is what I command you. Jesus understands. United we stand, divided we fall. If they don't stand back to back, when the persecution comes, they respond like Judas did, then they're going to fail. You must love one another. And what does a friend do? No greater love can a friend show than this, that he lay down his life. The students, the interns, have become the instructors, the practitioners. What is Jesus doing here? Very clearly, he's passing the baton in his relay race. It's time for the next generation to carry on. And yet the race will be grueling. It is, though, a labor of love. The Father's words are love in action. It is what's best for man. I mentioned earlier that there's no hidden agenda in what the Father has planned for his people, for the disciples of Jesus. It is clear that what the Father wants is what is best for us. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. This is what man is called to be. This is what is best. And if you stand back and look at the civilizations that have gone, even today, the cultures that exist, in which is the individual most blessed? In what culture does the individual experience the most freedom? It's where Christ and his influence is largest. We have been founded upon Christian principles, and we are, or at least have been, the envy of the world. You look at those cultures where the individual is given prominence. Service is not what is held up where there are dictators. And you find cultures where man is oppressed. How much difference does it make to be the friend of Jesus? To be friends of one another? To be willing as an individual to forfeit my rights if that's what's best for you? True friendship will lay down its life. Wow, what a concept. You say that's almost against common sense. Well, it is. Because what are we by nature? We are by nature children of wrath. I'll talk about that a little bit in this afternoon's lesson entitled No Excuse. If left to ourselves, man does not do well. We must follow the higher calling. No hidden agenda on God's part. He has presented to man what is best. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus has already said that earlier. Listen to these words in John chapter 13, beginning with verse 16. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Jesus reminded them of that in verse 20 of this chapter. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Here Jesus reminds them that as their master, he is about to be persecuted greatly. Now he's already suffered under the hands of the Jews, often having to flee from particular towns or cities, go into hiding. But he has prepared them not simply for more of this, but actually his arrest and his crucifixion, his death. But he says to his disciples, by following me, you will follow me to the death. If they've persecuted me, they will persecute you also. This calls for allegiance to the umpteenth degree. What does a friend do? He lays down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus is going to do. But he is saying to them, and so it may be of you. And as far as we know, there's only one of the apostles who died a natural death, who died of old age. Do you know which one that is? John, the one writing this passage. We know that he is still persecuted. He ends up as a prisoner because of his faith on the Isle of Patmos, where he writes the book of Revelation. But church tradition or history says that John died as an old man. Whenever John would attend worship services in Ephesus as an old man, they would give him an opportunity at the conclusion of the service. Now, this is church history. This isn't found in the Bible. But they would give him an opportunity to say something. And he was so old and feeble that he would have to be carried to the front of the audience. And each time, it is said, that when John was given an opportunity to say something, he had a very simple message. He would say, brothers, love one another. That is so comforting and peaceful, isn't it? And that's what you see in the Gospel of John, in the letters of John, even to an extent in the book of Revelation, that relationship is important. Remember, God requires of us obedience. He desires from us relationship. What that means is God desires me to honor him as his son. In a relationship that says, my Father and my God. Not mindless obedience, but it is required of me to obey. And not just of me, but of everyone in the world. Now you'll say, well, wait a minute. Not everyone has bought into Christianity, and that is true. But that doesn't mean they're not accountable. That doesn't mean that God doesn't expect them to obey. He does. God requires of us, all of us, obedience. What he desires, however, is that we go beyond simple obedience, if there's anything simple about obedience, into a relationship with Him. What's the difference between having force and love be the motivation behind the things that I do? Oh, there's a world of difference. If I'm forced to do something because I am in fear, I am less likely to remain faithful when I get the chance to disobey. But if I do things out of love and devotion and dedication and commitment because I love my Savior, I love my Father, I trust the Holy Spirit, then when persecutions come, I'm not thinking about myself alone. I am thinking about my relationship with my Father, and I desire to bring Him glory. That's why Jesus is being so upfront. If they've persecuted me, they will persecute you. But then He has added this as well. But if they listen to me, they will listen to you. Why? Why would anybody listen to me or to you? When we speak that which has been given to us by the Father, when we teach the Scriptures, then ones who love God will listen to what God has said. It's not about us. It's all about Him. Turn with me to hymn number 566. 566. They tried my Lord and Master with no one to defend. Within the halls of Pilate, He stood without a friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus, my life for Him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. The world may turn against Him, I'll love Him to the end. And while on earth I'm living, my Lord shall have a friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus, my life for Him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. To all who need a Savior, my friend I recommend. Because He brought salvation is why I am His friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus, my life for Him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. Yes, we can see clearly that basic training is ending. Graduation is upon these disciples. They've been trained, they've been schooled, and they will soon be infused with the Holy Spirit. They are more than just servants or disciples. They are about to become apostles, the ones sent. No longer doulos, but philos. By the way, you want to remember how this Greek word for love is even in our society, and a word that you might be able to recall, think Philadelphia. Philos, Philadelphia, which is philo, love, adelphos, which is brother, and that's why Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. No longer slaves, but friends. Imparting to the world the very words of the Father, the message of salvation. that which will save mankind. God requires of us obedience. He desires from us relationship.